take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just meet with us tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you use your word to speak to hearts, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. On April 10th, 1912, the Titanic left her berth at the harbor in Southampton, England. This was the maiden voyage for the 882-foot-long ocean liner that had been billed as unsinkable. She carried with her 228 passengers and crew. Most passengers had paid thousands of dollars to set sail on the great ocean liner. 4 days into the voyage, on April 4th, 1912, severe ice warnings were received for the area through which the Titanic was sailing. These warnings were ignored, and the Titanic maintained her course in New York Harbor. At 11:40 p.m., the Titanic struck an iceberg on the starboard side of her bow. She began to take on water at an alarming rate, and within 3 hours, the Titanic and 1,523 of her passengers were at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Only 705 of the original 2,228 passengers survived that great shipwreck. Since then, people have tried to figure out what has happened to the Titanic, and a lot of theories have come about because of it. But either way, it was a tragic loss of life. And, you know, there's many other shipwrecks. There's the Edmund Fitzgerald. I believe that was on the Great Lakes. The Andrea Dora, and many others. And so here's the thing is, the facts behind these shipwrecks of history make a fascinating study. But we see here that not all shipwrecks happen at sea. And when we look here, the Bible says in verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. And most of us will never become or never have a part in a shipwreck at sea. And hopefully none of us will. But the truth is that some of us could experience shipwreck. We see that there's two individuals that God names here, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And our text reveals that basically something of the nature of shipwrecks, and we're supposed to avoid them. And there's a danger of becoming a shipwreck spiritually in our lives. And so we're going to talk about tonight spiritual shipwrecks. And so first of all, we see the reality of spiritual shipwrecks. And, you know, Paul here calls out two men who have shipwrecked. We don't know much about these men. We don't know basically how much of a problem they caused in the early church. But we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says over here, 2 Timothy 2:17, let's go to 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus. And so we see here Hymenaeus is mentioned, and then you know, basically he was the Bible here talks about vain and profane babblings, and basically I believe that Hymenaeus here was beginning to teach false doctrine. And then Alexander, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And so here's the thing is that the Bible uses the word much, and so here's the thing is we're not just talking about an evil deed here or there. And so when it comes down to it, these people God has named as being shipwrecked. And so No doubt everyone in this room or everyone listening could think of a person who once walked with God and made shipwreck in their life. Whether it be someone that influenced us greatly in the past or somebody that has recently walked away. What we need to remember this evening is spiritual shipwrecks don't just happen to the other guy. It can happen to you and me as well. No one listening or in this room is immune to the possibility to fall into sin and make shipwrecks of our lives. So don't scoff at the danger of becoming a shipwreck. It can happen to anyone. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And then turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. You know, too many times we get arrogant and we think that we cannot fall. And the truth is that it could happen to any one of us. The Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." When we start to think that, well, you know, it can never happen to us, and I'm too great of a Christian, or whatever the case is, then we've got to be careful because we are in prime shipwreck territory. And so here's the thing: is that there are some reasons for shipwreck. Paul here tells us one of the reasons back to 1 Timothy, and there are some reasons for shipwreck. And the Bible talks about here in, holding faith and good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith had made shipwreck. Paul tells us the reasons that these two men suffered shipwreck was because they put away the faith. This literally means to shove away, basically the turning from truth to error. In this case, Hymenaeus would appear that he rejected the true teaching of faith and embraced false doctrine. For Alexander, it seems that he developed a mean spirit and began to work against the things of the Lord. Both wound up where they were because they pushed away truth and error. We need to hold fast to the truth. And too many times we the Bible talks about thy word is truth. You know, if we get away from the Word of God, if we get away from the teaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, too many times we come up with false doctrine, and we can be influenced by the world, and we can be influenced by the teachings of the world. But the move to from truth to error is not made in an instant. No one wakes up in the morning and says, "You know what? Today is the day I'm going to walk away from God. Today is the day I'm going to mess up my life. Today is the day that I'm going to get out of the will of God." No, it's more subtle than that. We fall away when we allow sin unchallenged in our lives. We fall away when we seek to rationalize our sinful and backslidden condition. We take and we decide that maybe the Word of God doesn't apply to us in certain areas, and we start to think that, you know what, this is for the best, and we rationalize. And what happens is backsliding always begins subtly, and the movement away from God is kind of like, I remember hearing growing up the illustration of a frog in a kettle of water. If he is placed in a kettle of cold water, and the kettle is set on a hot stove, he will sit there as the water heats up. Because he is cold-blooded, he is oblivious to the temperature changes in the water until it's too late and he is boiled to death. If you throw him into boiling water, he will jump out. And too many times it seems like that we take and we allow sin to creep into our lives. We take and we rationalize. And what happens is the backsliding process gradual enough. Sometimes we don't even notice. And we take next thing you know, we become like Hymenaeus or Alexander, and we end up to the point where we're either teaching false doctrine, we're either believing something that goes against the Word of God, or we're taking and fighting the will of God. And I don't believe that either one of these guys woke up one morning and said, "Listen, today I'm going to fight God's will. Today I'm going to fight the man of God. Today I'm going to fight what God is trying to do. Or today I'm going to try and teach false doctrine." And so here's the thing, is it happened gradually. Sometimes tragedies come to these great ships when they are allowed to drift, or when they're overloaded. Sometimes with one of the the shipwrecks on the Great Lakes. I remember reading about one where it actually had no load on it whatsoever. And at other times, the loss of momentum can cause a ship to flounder. Things like torn sails and broken rudders contribute to the demise of a ship. And this would be, basically, this is an admonition to us. Don't allow the small things into our lives that we think are insignificant. Don't allow the things that we think that, you know, too many times we as Christians, we think that we can get away with certain things, or this isn't as bad, or this is just it's a small lie, or it's a small this or that. Or what happens is that we need to take and realize that the small things stack up and they can cause a shipwreck in our lives. Right. And so here's the thing, as Paul lays out the remedy or the prevention of spiritual shipwrecks here. And here's the thing is that whether we find ourselves wandered away from God, realizing that God is the God of restoration, and God is the God of second chances, and that the Bible talks about if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when it comes down to it, whether we find ourselves as a shipwreck or we find ourselves traveling down this path, Paul here lays out a five-step prescription that will help us to either recover from a spiritual shipwreck or to keep us from one. And so here's the thing: the first one lies in the following. Paul tells Timothy here that he's to give him a charge. This is a military word. A lot of times, back in the old days of the cavalry, they'd lead charge. They'd scream charge and they'd fight out. They'd scramble out towards the enemy, and that was a call to arms, and that was a call to battle. And so here's the thing: is when we look down here, the Bible says, "This charge I commit unto thee," and he has a duty to listen and to carry out the orders of the. That is laid out here. The same is true for the believer. The first step in walking with God is that we need to be willing to obey His will found in the Word of God. And we have a mandate to obey the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to James. James chapter 1. And listen, too many times we take and we think that, this command is for somebody else, or we pay the pastor to share the gospel. We don't have to share the gospel. Well, James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, the Bible says this: "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So here's the thing, as Paul is saying, listen, this charge I commit. And listen, when it comes down to it, we need to be obedient to the Word of God. How is our life in relationship to the Word of God? Number one is, do we know what the Word of God says? Do we know what is in the Word of God? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so here's the thing is, if we're to obey the Word of God, it's just like the laws here that the police enforce. Here's the thing is, go speeding down Route 4 doing 80 miles an hour and then tell the police officer, well, you didn't know what the speed limit was. Here's the thing is, ignorance is no excuse. And so the first remedy is lying in the following. But next, it lies in the fulfilling. Paul reminds Timothy of the prophecies that have been issued concerning his life. Prophecies, no doubt, concerning his success and the blessing in the ministry. But he is to follow out God's will for his life. You and I have been given given some things that we're to fulfill in life. The Bible says in Romans 8, chapter 8 and verse 37, that we are more than conquerors. Tell you what, let's go ahead and turn there. And listen, when it comes down to it, God has given promises in the Bible concerning those that do His will. And the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And the Bible is very clear that God loved us first. And so, but listen, when it comes down to it, we are told that we can consistently walk in victory if we'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We can't have the victory, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us. It's not through our talents. It's not through those things that God has given us. Too many times we see what God gives us as something that we possess because we deserve it. And the truth is we don't deserve any of it. Those talents that God gives us so that we can give them back to Him and use them for His glory and for His honor. And so 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures tonight. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And so this charge was committed to Timothy. And your life and mine has been entrusted to us. Basically, God gives us everything that we have. And listen, we're to use what God gives us for His honor and glory. And too many times we take and we don't live up to our full potential spiritually. You know, there's the saying in the military, I believe it's the Army, "Be all that you can be." And listen, if the military wants us to be all that we can be, how much more important is it for us to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus? And so we are fighting for so. Here's the thing: is the military is fighting for our freedom, and they have such a noble calling and a noble work that they're doing. But how much more noble is it to save the souls of men? And here's the thing: is God uses us, and we need to take it. We're not reaching the potential, our full potential for ourselves. We're reaching it so that God can use us in a great way. And realizing it's not us that does it, it's us trusting in God. And God has a great work for us to do. And we need to reach that full potential so that we can see more souls saved, so we can see more lives changed, and we can do a greater work for God, for His honor and for His glory. The next part is the prescription lies in the fighting. Timothy is reminded that he has not enlisted in the Lord's army to play on the playground. He didn't just do it to play with the weapons. And here's the thing: is you know you hear some teenagers that don't know what the military is all about. "Well, I want to join the military because they have cool guns and they have cool vehicles and all this other stuff." And talk about an immature reason for wanting to go to the military. And here's the thing is, you know what? I remember hearing stories back in the day about young people who realized that there was a fight going on. And young men, 16, 15, 16, 17 years old, lying about their age to go into the military because they realized that there was a greater cause that was needed. And they loved their country. They were patriotic. And they decided that they were willing to sacrifice everything, including their lives, for that greater cause. It wasn't about the guns and it wasn't about the vehicles. It was about realizing that there was more to life than just themselves. And here's the thing, as Timothy is reminded here, that the Christian life is a battleground. And, you know, here's the thing is that too many times we as Christians, we're like the immature young person that says, you know what, I just want to play with the guns and play with the vehicles. And here's the thing is too many times we want the answers to prayer and we want the blessings and we want to see God work, but we don't want to do the work to get there. We don't want to walk with God. We don't want to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We don't want to walk with God. We don't want to dig into the Word. We don't want to be a man or woman of prayer, and we don't want to do the work. But here's the thing is, if we're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, this is a war. Think about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The Bible talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Why? Because you know what? There will be attacks from Satan. There is a fight going on. And turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And listen, we battle a sin nature. We battle, the Bible talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. And here's the thing is, God kind of outlines a few things. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, too many times we take and we put other things in front of God. And, you know, we put other things in front of listening to a service like this or reading our Bible or praying. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we're gonna become casualties of war if we don't put God first. If we the Bible talks about and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, the Bible commands us to control our thought life. And whether, you know, here's the thing is there's many ways to control our thought life. Memorizing scripture is a great one. Reading the Bible. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And listen, when we take and we control our thought life, listen, we're less likely to become spiritual shipwrecks or casualties of war. And so here's the thing is, we've got to fight. And you know what? Too many times we take I'm not talking about here, but in Christianity, we roll over. We say, you know what? Oh, listen, I tell you what, music standards aren't important. You know, standards and convictions, I'm just going to, you know, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to fight the good fight. The world, the flesh, and the devil are out there to erode our beliefs, erode what the Word of God says. And here's the thing is, there are some things worth fighting for. When it comes down to the Scriptures, you know what? When God says, thus saith the Lord, that's worth fighting for. When somebody says that, you know what? God's Word is not true, that's worth fighting for. And here's the thing is, anybody that goes against this book right here is a liar. And that is worth fighting for. I don't care who it offends. Listen, when it comes down to it, ultimately, if I'm a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I'm looking forward, I am trying to live my life in lieu of the fact of hearing, well done, now good and faithful servant. There's one person that I should be trying to impress, and it's nowhere here on this earth, it's up in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, are we earnestly contending for the faith? Have we taken and dressed up for battle and are ready for battle and ready to fight like the Lord says, or are we just looking for the easy life, the comfortable life? And next is, it lies in faith. Timothy's charged to take hold of the faith. When it comes down to it, we need to hold fast. We need to defend the faith at all cost. You know, here's the thing is, too many times we take and we don't hold fast to the faith. You know, too many times we take and we don't take our walk with God as serious as we should. And hopefully that's not anyone under the sound of my voice or myself. But here's the thing is, we need to hold fast. We need to know what we believe from the Word of God. You know, too many times we listen to a slick communicator and somebody that preaches heresy, kind of like Hymenaeus, and one that speaks eloquently, and you know what? They start talking things against the Word of God. We need to hold fast to the faith. We need to know what we believe, and when we see or hear heresy, we ought to know the Word of God enough to realize that, you know what? That is not right. And so when it comes down to it, we need to know what we possess and we need to hold on to it. We need to get a grip on the Word of God and fight tooth and nail to keep error out of our life and out of our church. And so when it comes down to it, too many times people have taken and walking away. And, I'll be honest with you. You hear a lot out in the quote unquote Christian realm about, well, I just feel like this text is saying, listen, man, I'll tell you what, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When it comes down to it, you know what? Let the Bible speak for itself. And here's the thing: is too many times we go on feeling, and you know what? We'll talk about that here in a minute. But you know what? I tell you what: feelings will lead us astray. And next is the prescription for avoiding spiritual shipwreck lies in faithfulness. The Bible, Paul reminds Timothy of the value of a good conscience. We know that when it comes down to it, we should have a good conscience towards God. And you know, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, there's so much that is confused about a conscience. You know, too many times people think that, it's all about feelings. But simply put, it is dangerous to operate on feelings apart from the leadership of the Word of God. And this is a recipe for disaster. A life that is not centered on the Word of God has no spiritual framework to guide the conscience. Therefore, if we don't know what the Bible says about right and wrong, I wouldn't trust your conscience. And here's the thing is, this book ought to be the final authority. What God says is right, and what God says is wrong, That's what's wrong. And here's the thing, is it doesn't matter who goes against it or who is for it, God's Word. And so here's the thing is, we better be really careful about people that say, or ourselves, well, this is what I feel like the Bible is saying. Listen, let's not change the Word of God. Let's not try and go off our feelings. And, well, this is what I think is right. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we should base our lives upon the Word of God. And when it comes down to it, the Bible talks about we can have a seared conscience. And how are we living our lives? In 1912, the world was amazed at the Titanic. She was the most spectacular boat afloat, handsomely appointed and decorated with all the best that the world had to offer. People believed that she had the potential to return years of faithful service to her passengers and the mountains of money that her owners hoped to receive. But because of errors, some small and others large, she became a shipwreck, and when she sank, she took down innocent lives with her. What will be said about our lives? Will men be able to quote the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7? I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Do those words apply to us? Or will our lives stand as a memorial to those who veer off course, only to be wrecked upon the jagged reefs and rocks of sin? Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, for some people, there are icebergs with their name on it. If we are unprepared, when we arrive at its destination, we will sink like a rock. What will be the outcome of our lives? Here's the thing is, are we going to take the charge here from Paul? Are we going to decide that, you know what? Hey, listen, we have to be men and women of the Bible. We have to be willing to fight. We have to follow the Lord. We have to realize that God has a plan for us, and we have to hold fast to the faith. We have to be faithful. Because here's the thing is, too many times, we all know people who once walk through doors like this. And you know what? They haven't walked through the doors of a church house in a long time. They've become spiritual shipwreck. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, what a tragedy that is. Because God has a plan and a purpose for each life. And I'll be honest with you, there's nothing more miserable in all the world than to be a Christian who knows what they should be doing and not doing it. And so here's the thing is, God has a plan. So let me ask you tonight is, how are we doing as far as spiritual shipwreck? Are we doing this necessary measures found in the Word of God to avoid it? Or are we just deciding we're like the Titanic, we're unsinkable? It can never happen to us. The Bible talks about pride goeth before a fall. Listen, the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I believe that the fool walks through life and says, you know what? I don't have to prepare. I don't have to plan. I don't have to do anything other than, you know what? I'm saved. That's all that matters. And here's the thing is, you're missing the boat. Yes, you will find yourself up in heaven one day if you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But you know what? Too many Christians find themselves to be a spiritual shipwreck because they've just lived their life thinking they are unsinkable. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to take the heed from Paul. And I pray that you just help us to hold fast to the faith. Help us to take this charge and help us to apply it to our lives. And I pray that you help us to not find ourselves to be a spiritual shipwreck. But dear Heavenly Father, on the contrary, helping those that have become the spiritual shipwreck to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just use us in a great way. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.